Pablo, what are you doing with your hand? You want to leave it
I'm
there?
Just rubbing my
for the
chin.
Open?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for
space.
You to stop fidgeting so we can start.
I'm not going
to
stop
fidgeting. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Pablo Torre. Won't stop moving. That lovely hair that's making mine look disgusting is Mina Kimes. It's attached to a brilliant person. Let's do Highly Questionable now.
Okay.
I think your hair looks great.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Fishing.
Was it silly for us to have doubted Team USA?
I mean, this is every question on this show. It's like, is the take we had not that long ago a bad take?
Yeah,
and then we get to have a new take on it and get new credit for it. So the United States men's basketball team in Vegas, exhibitions before the Olympics, lost to Nigeria, lost to Australia. Then in the Olympics, in the group stage, lost to France. And there was all of this talk about, oh no, is our team bad? Do they stink? Is Kevin Durant the worst? The question was answered last night in a game against Australia where the U.S. trailed by as much as 15 in the first half. They came back and they won decisively on the back of one Kevin Durant, the first men's player to hit the 400-point scoring mark in the Olympics, an incredible Olympic player who changed the momentum of the team. We don't have to worry about the United States men's basketball team. Here's my issue with the way that we talk about this team. Olympic basketball for the United States feels different, right? It's almost like, remember the first time you went to school when you were younger at night? You like went for an assembly or something and it just felt like this is different, but it's the same. That's how Olympic basketball feels. And I feel like for some reason, our expectations are that they will win gold easily and handily. And if they fall short of that in any way, we yell at them and act like they're the absolute. We roast them relentlessly when really we don't give them as much glory for actually winning the gold. It's like, yeah, that's what they were supposed to do. Other teams that come want to beat the United States. It's what they're focused on. They want the opportunity to show off, show who they are, and beat this team. And so obviously they're going to show up with their best. But I think our team also showed up with their best, and I'm happy for them.
So the whole metaphor about going to school at night and being disoriented by that does have surprising resonance here, because a lot of times people criticizing this team were like, hey, I think the gym teacher, Greg Popovich, is drunk. Like, is that what's happening? Because none of this seems to be working out so well for Team USA. Clearly, I was part of the overreaction. I thought the U.S. was going to lose to Australia because they had lost two times in a row to Australia, because they're the type of team to go down 15 points to Australia. But the guy I want to focus on here, because Team USA is now in the gold medal game against France, I want to focus on Devin Booker, because that dude has been going through it. That dude lost the NBA Finals, got on a private jet with Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, who were undoubtedly stinking of very expensive champagne. They go to Tokyo, and if Devin Booker does not win a gold medal, finally, doesn't win first place, finally, after all of that trauma of being on a jet with those two dudes, I feel so bad for him. So I am hoping, at the very least for his sake, they do win and beat France.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that plane, because, and the fact that half of the U.S. men's Olympic team was just playing in the NBA Finals and flew straight to Tokyo, because at the beginning of every game, they look jet lagged. They are struggling, even when they're winning and progressing in the tournament. They are coming out with bad execution, sloppy passing, a bad shooting as well. However, it's one of those players who came straight from the NBA Finals that is crushing it. I'm talking about Drew Holiday. Yes, Kevin Durant is carrying this team. He is going to lead the team, the Olympic team, in shooting for his third straight Olympics. I think it's safe at this point to call him like the greatest Olympian basketball player of all time. But Drew Holiday is continuing to do exactly what he did in the NBA Finals, which is he is harassing dudes like a pop-up ad that you can't close, that's like popping up around your computer.
Oh,
his defense,
man,
is so irritating. And to me, if they're gonna beat France, and by the way, it's not a given the competition on the other side, Fournier, Batum, and Gobert.
Yeah, they beat the U.S.
Who beat the U.S. already. It's going to come down to Kevin Durant and Drew Holiday.
I hate those pop-up ads where they put a box where you're supposed to click on it, but it's a false X. It's like they want you to click on that, but it's not that.
You're
it's more pop-up ads.
Still falling for that? I thought you were extremely online. How is this
the
still?
Time.
Get an ad blocker.
Like a video, and then you just, pop-ups. It's on the article, and then you're just like, oh, I guess I'll just let the video play and try to read the article with the video playing this.
But then there's another video sometimes.
Another video. That's Drew Holiday. I think we can all agree that that makes a lot of sense. Like that. Yeah. Ask Devin Booker.
Is Carl Lewis right to blast the U.S. 4x1 team?
I mean, you were right to emphasize blast so strongly. So Carl Lewis, who you may know from, I don't know, winning 9 gold medals, also a silver, just being an incredibly decorated athlete. There's a lot of people who log on to the internet to criticize athletes. Very few of them are qualified. Carl Lewis is qualified. So after the men's relay, here is what he tweeted. He did not hold back. The USA team did everything wrong in the men's relay. The passing system is wrong, athletes running the wrong legs, and it was clear that there was no leadership. It was a total embarrassment and completely unacceptable for a USA team to look worse than the AAU kids I saw. Ooh. So he's not softening that in any way. He's upset. And look, I do think Carl Lewis is right to be upset. He went on to emphasize that it's about leadership, that it's not about the fact that the guys aren't fast, that they aren't running their hardest. I mean, we have some of the fastest people on our relay team. It does not make sense that we should continue to see them failing in these ways. In 2008, they had that bad handoff. In the next Olympics, they won silver, but then they had that stripped because of Tyson Gay's, problems. And then in the next Olympics, they got third, but then they were disqualified because the handoff happened outside of the place that you look. I don't know how to analyze running, so I wouldn't be saying anything if he wasn't saying anything. And it actually gives me the ability to say, yeah, we should be winning this more often. There should be better leadership. Come on, Carl Lewis, coach us, help.
This was an incredible tweet. I mean, first of all, it's devastating. Like, I know he was criticizing the leadership and the coaching and the strategy, but imagine being one of those runners and like logging on or getting off the track and seeing that Carl Lewis said this. It would be like if we had a bad episode of Highly Questionable, got on the internet, and I don't know, Vin Scully was like, no, I mean, it's like, it's horrible. But I also thought it was incredibly edifying because, you know, watching the event, you go into it and you're hearing about all of these runners and how one of them has the fastest 100 time in the world. One of them came in second. So you watch the race and you expect them to win and then they lose and you wonder why. And it's really useful to have someone like Carl Lewis explain that they're like, oh, this guy shouldn't be on the turn and the order was incorrect and the strategy. It's frankly fascinating. It's also fascinating. I learned to read that the U.S., for all of their individual talent and excellence, they don't practice together compared to the other teams, which, boy, is that a metaphor for some of the problems in this country right now. I'll just let that sit, and Pablo, you can weigh in.
Well, that's the thing, though. They were asked, like, the second leg was asked after the race, how much did you guys practice as a team before this event? And he said, don't know. And they asked the third leg, and he said, not much. That feels like a good reason for Carl Lewis to not only tweet that, but if you go back and look at how he said it and what he did on his account, to pin that tweet.
Oh, my goodness.
Carl Lewis pinned that thing. So I do consider that a declaration of interest in running USA track and field at this point. But the other, like, the upside to this, if I want to make, you know, these athletes feel any better, like, this is kind of what happens in the big glamour sports, right? Like, the idea that a former jock who is really good at all of this is going to go out in public and just kill you for choking or not being good enough or failing in some way. That is kind of the entirety of how, like, basketball and football commentary work now. So on that level, you made it to the
big time. Reassuring. That's really not reassuring, Pablo.
Was it lame that LeBron deleted his tweet calling out the haters?
Yes, that's two tweets in the A block if you're keeping track. A lot going on today. So LeBron took to his Twitter, where I don't know, I'm sure a couple million people follow him, and tweeted out this for a brief and fleeting moment. keep talking about my squad, our personnel ages, the way he plays. He stays injured. We're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please. And I mean, please. And then please hands. Keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you. And then a crown.
Okay.
The fact that you tweet and delete it, I'm not going to focus at all on the I'm not going to roast the tweet. I'll leave that up to you guys. You have had this Twitter account and this following, LeBron, for so long that you should not still be in a situation where you send a tweet and you don't see pretty quickly where it's going to go before you send the tweet. You have to think that through before you send the tweet. You are past the threshold of tweet and delete because this is going to happen. You have deleted it and we're still talking about it because it still happened and enough people saw it. I will give LeBron a little bit of credit, at least his hashtag. He only had one in this tweet and it was like a reasonable amount of words to put after a hashtag instead of like hashtag just one athlete talking about the sport that I play or whatever that really long one was that he did once. So he's getting better in that regard. But man, I can't wait till LeBron figures out social media. It should happen any day now.
Yeah, and look, there's obviously a Streisand effect thing. When you delete something, you're only drawing more attention to it. I completely agree with you, Katie. I'm just going to give LeBron some benefit of the doubt and say, like, okay, why would he do this? Because I can't believe he doesn't understand that at this point. And the only thing I can come up with is Russell Westbrook was like, look, man, I'm going to join the Lakers, but you cannot tweet about my haters. If you tweet about my haters, it's only going to give them what they want. Russell Westbrook responds to nobody online ever. And LeBron's like, got it, Russ, will do. And then did the thing and was like, maybe he didn't see it. Maybe he didn't see it.
I like this fan fiction that you're writing.
We all saw it.
Yeah, that going deep into the Russell Westbrook-LeBron relationship. I think this is an L for LeBron. I don't think he thought it through. I think he just immediately pressed delete. And I also think it's an L because to go back to the first question of this show, we are talking about Kevin Durant dominating the Olympics. Kevin Durant at the moment looks like the best basketball player alive. He's also the best poster alive right now. Kevin Durant ain't deleting his tweets. He is saying what he wants on the internet. He is living his truth online. Meanwhile, LeBron taking L's both on the court and off the court to KD.
Yeah, we're in the day and age of if you're going to say it, just say it with your whole chest.
I like how Kevin Durant has come all the way around.
All the way around. I'm so proud of him.
He was the worst. He was the case study in awful online decision making. And now, by virtue of posting all of the time unrepentantly, he has become the god of Twitter.
Up next on HQ.
I mean, absolutely. This dude is literally the halfway point between Dwayne Johnson and, you know, what's his name? Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel?
How dare you?
Time to play the game that's jacked up that we got football every weekend until the Super Bowl. Let's go.
You give us topics and events and we question them? Is this your question?
Do we have to go? Like, we have an option about going?
Sorry to viewers if that was too loud.
Do you question if Jameis deserves credit for his effort?
This effort is at Saints practice. Let's just show the clip. Jameis did this.
Where is he?
He's in the red, you'll see. You'll know. You'll know!
Oh, God.
It is funny that you're like, well, wait, which one is? Oh, no, I don't need to ask. Yep, he's right there.
Yeah, it's the one who looks like me when I think I've absolutely figured out how to swipe a Metro card.
Yeah, it's like it's that thing. It is nice because you know how people say when you watch the Olympics that it would be nice to have an average person try to complete the whatever event is in one lane, let's say for track and field, so that you can have a comparison of like, wow, that is really, really fast. Yes. That's like Jameis doing this drill is like you might watch other people do it and go, oh, I could run through that thing. And then you watch Jameis do it and you're like, oh, no, thank you so much for putting me in my place because no, I absolutely could not.
There is nothing funnier than watching quarterbacks try to do athletic things, not like Lamar Jackson division, because, you know, they get paid more than anyone else. And I'm sure their teammates just are like itching to watch them fail at doing the absolutely mundane things they do every day. It's particularly funny, by the way, with Jameis to be reminded of his lack of athleticism, because when he was coming out, and even honestly early in his career, occasionally you would hear people or see people say, oh yeah, he's a dual threat quarterback. And you'd be like, wow, you are leaning hard on racial stereotypes, my friend, and have never watched this man play football.
Mm-hmm.
Do you question if Robert Saleh is throwing shade?
All right, so a little context before we get into it, whether or not he's throwing shade. So Joe Judge, coach of the Giants, obviously there was a brawl at practice recently, and then afterwards he made everybody run sprints and do conditioning, and he said that he's an old school values type of coach. Then recently, Robert Saleh, just play the clip, and we'll see if it's throwing shade.
What's your philosophy, Robert? Sort of along the same lines of like penalty laps or penalty push-ups or doing kind of like disciplinary things in practice, like that sort of stuff?
You know, there's many ways to do it. There are many ways to do it. For me, you know, it's more of accountability. Try to create accountability with self rather than forcing accountability. These players are grown men, and that to give them the opportunity to correct it themselves will always happen first. Obviously, there's going to be coaching. You know, they're not trying to make the mistake. All we can do is help them understand how the mistake was made so they don't do it again.
It does have, since these two live in the same house, essentially, it does have big mom versus dad energy. But I like Robert Saleh's answer. I know that's not interesting or spicy, but I actually think it's a good answer. And he doesn't cop out with things like old school. And I'm just all those words that people use when it's just their coaching tactic. It's not old school.
Yeah, I just have to say, I love this dude. Like, I find him incredibly charming. And I think his approach, I agree with Katie, by the way, I don't think he's intentionally throwing shade. I have to say, I think it engenders a lot of respect. And he also just engenders respect amongst players because of whom he is. Brilliant coach, brilliant listener, and also looks like the NFL coach most likely to be cast in a Fast and Furious movie. I mean,
absolutely.
This dude is literally the halfway point between Dwayne Johnson and, you know, what's his name? Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel?
How dare you?
Can you not imagine Robert Saleh saying, football is family?
Oh, Mina, that's
the end of a press conference.
Cherry
it's
on
so
top.
Easy. It's so easy for me to imagine.
I had all sorts of points about how, like, you know, you shouldn't try to assume that you can talk people out of, you know, having a giant brawl. Like, sometimes you just got to gas people by having them run. I was going to say stuff like that, but I truly feel like Mina Kimes is the first person to ever forget the name Vin Diesel. Ever.
This,
like, on the planet.
Like, this seems like a good point to admit that I've only seen one Fast and Furious.
Come on!
Movie, and it was Tokyo Drift, in which Vin Diesel appears at the very end. Amazing movie, by the way.
Time to play the game that is delighted that Ben Simmons did not make the rundown today. See? Oh, no.
Oh, my God. We all did it the same way.
Oh!
You tell us what's on TV, and we tell you if we're intrigued or not.
That
was incredible coordination.
I don't think that's ever happened.
And skill, which Ben Simmons is.
Okay.
As a shooter.
Tonight at 8 p.m. on Fox, the Hall of Fame game, Steelers and Cowboys.
I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't even know. I've been so into the Olympics. I've been watching artistic swimming. I've been watching equestrian. I've been getting super into all these sports that never get any of our attention. And then all of a sudden, I think yesterday somebody was like, the Hall of Fame games this weekend. I'm like, no, it's not, you liar. So I'm going to say yes. I'm intrigued. I'm excited. I can't. It just kind of snuck up on me. Usually I have this in my calendar. I'm like counting down to it.
Nina
but the
is
Olympics
already freaking
being now
out.
Has been so distracting. And I don't know, I feel like rhythmic gymnastics is coming up, and I feel like that's going to dominate my weekend.
If you don't call on Mina, Katie, she's going to combust.
Okay, Mina, are you intrigued?
Today, this morning, my husband, on his way out, said, hey, we've got these friends. They had a baby, right? And we should visit them tonight. We haven't seen them in months. Let's get them. We got them this present. This is our opportunity. We're going on this trip. And I said, honey, absolutely not. Because tonight, football is back. Ben DiNucci, Dwayne Haskins, collision, Hall of Fame game. I cannot wait. How are you not more excited for football?
Rhythmic gymnastics, though, also exciting. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I mean, I guess. I legitimately thought Mina was about to give her version of the Bill Pullman Independence Day speech. in less than 6 hours, aircraft from around the world will be flying over Canton, Ohio to watch not Dak Prescott and not Ben Roethlisberger,
who are
both not playing in a game that we would all watch if it was just a bunch of random dudes standing around a table with a football sitting on top of it. So I guess I'm in because I'm American. But in reality, yeah, I'm probably going to like drift in and out while I'm watching this on my couch.
Yeah, to me, the Hall of Fame game is the game where you learn that if you're hungry enough, you'll eat anything.
I am starving. Yeah,
it's a good car impression.
That was a really good car impression, Mina.
That's how you drift.
All right, that's it for Highly Questionable. Thank you so much for watching. If you want more Pablo Torre, listen to ESPN Daily. If you want more Mina Kimes, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, or NFL Live. And we'll see you. I'll be here tomorrow. Will you guys be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
We'll be breaking down the Hall of Fame game tomorrow!
Ooh, how exciting.